Next Chapter Podcasts.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hear Shakespeare like you've never heard before.
The thanks to all at once.
Who by next moon?
Thee we invite to see.
Who will be crowned at Scone?
Play on podcasts are epic audio adventures reimagining timeless tales with award-winning actors.
Double toil and trouble.
Listen today at playonpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boil and bake.
Eye of newt and toe of frog. Pull of bat and tongue of dog.
I started to appreciate country music more when I moved to LA, weirdly enough.
That makes no sense to me.
Part of it's because I started going to a gay country western bar.
What was it called?
It's still there. It's called Oil Can Harry's.
Ooh, I love that name. They got the gay bars have the best names.
Yes.
Ever.
Ever.
Dingles. Brian's Rage.
Blue Balls.
When I go through Santa Monica Boulevard towards that area, and I like the first time I saw that Five Guys burger place, I was like, "Ooh, a new gay bar opened up," and I was like, "Oh no, that's the burger place."
One thing you should know.
What's playing right now? Give It Up or Let Me Go by Bonnie Raitt off her 1972 release, Give It Up. And that is number 495 out of 500 on The 500 with Josh Adam Myers. What's up, everybody? I am Josh Adam Myers, your host, the four-legged comedian, the king of fleas, Jimmy Josh Adams, whatever you want to call me. Thank you for tuning in to the only podcast where each week we go through Rolling Stone magazine's top 500 albums list from 5 Honey all the way down to numero uno. Hope you guys pay for your Spotify's, your Apple Music, and all that other shit, because this is going to be rocking and rolling until May 31st, 2028. I'm trying to come up with a name for you guys, so I need your opinions. I was thinking about calling you the 5 Honeys. What's up, my little 5 Honey Bunnies? Ooh. Does that sound good to y'all? Because I think we might have hit it. 5 Honey Bunnies. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. I hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode. I sure as hell did. Kevin Nealon is the shit. The people that reached out on social media, I can't thank you guys enough. You guys are fantastic. I love you guys so much. Dude, it's been a great launch month. November was my birthday, and it was also the goddamn comedy jam that we did at the Roxy with Bill Burr, Jim Jeffries, Becky Robinson, Joe DeRosa, and the Sklar Brothers. It was a fantastic show, but the podcast has been phenomenal, and I'm just having the time of my life doing this, guys. I fucking love it, man. I fucking love it, and I love you, and I love Stitcher for featuring the 500 on the front page all month long. Love me some Stitcher. That's not saying I don't love all the other formats. I love them all, but Stitcher gave us some goddamn love, y'all. They gave us some goddamn love. But now that we're in December, guys, we've got Christmas, we got Hanukkah, we got Kwanzaa, we got all those great things. And I hope you guys' New Year's resolution is to join our VIP membership of the 500 to hear full interviews and the show a day early on Record Store Tuesdays. What I'm trying to ask you guys to do is if you join the 500 Club and you choose the All Access category, that's a $50 level on Patreon, you'll get that first t-shirt in time for Christmas Day. And if you sign up by December 10th, that's a limited time offer, but we figure that you guys are going to want that swag and it's going to go fast. So go to the500podcast.com and click the 500 Club to join. It is the shit. Join the movement. It's a fucking movement. We're moving towards number one, and we're going to hit it on May 31st, 2028. I know you get tired of me saying it, but guys, I'm just trying to stress to you that we are down to our final episodes. Final. Because when this shit is done, there's not another list. I'm only doing these. But these are the greatest songs and albums in the history of mankind. Hands down. We do have a few comments, and I'd like to read some of them to you. We got this one from Travis Moore. He's a new VIP club member on Patreon. He goes, "Hey, Josh, thanks for the podcast!" Exclamation point. Two of them, because he's really excited. I'm excited, and then he says that. I'm excited for the musical journey ahead. Big fan of your appearances on The Crab Feast, which is my favorite podcast ever, next to mine. And I hope you are one of the final four. I've started the 500 countdown myself, listening to one a day, and will listen to the weekly album alongside your podcast to get the most out of your show. Smart man, Travis, but I should have known that. I've always played music to my 16-month-old daughter during bath time, trying to play her something new every night. So with the album countdown, I'm giving her a musical education. She hasn't got a clear favorite yet. Keep up the good work, dude. Travis. Travis, guess what? I'm going to keep up the good work. I'm going to keep it up because I've got 490... Oh, my God. 494 more episodes to go. Jesus Christ. Yeah, if you guys knew how long it took me to tape these things, then you would be like, this Josh is going to have about 19 breakdowns just this month alone. We also got more from one of our OG fans' YouTube comments. Larry Leitner said you should set up a camera. I would like to, but here's the deal, guys. We're trying to work on doing video for the podcast, but man, it's difficult because a lot of these people that I'm interviewing are celebrities and they're extremely busy, and the fact that I'm getting them to listen to this record and then sit down and talk to me is pretty fucking difficult, and I'm super excited that they'd even want to be a part of it. So what I'm saying is, it's like I got to go to their homes. It would be weird if I set up like a three camera shoot. We're working on it. That's all I know, guys. We're working on getting you guys video. I promise you, we will get you guys video eventually. So, Tamor Hassan, are there any videos of your podcast? There's none yet. Also, big thanks to JT Mullins and Starter Visions and everybody else who commented on the YouTube channel. We hope you guys are liking it. And we just passed 1,000 views and 50 subscribers. So, I'll be retiring very soon. What I'm trying to say is, guys, we are... I'm super excited for anybody that is digging it on any platform. I love that you're digging it. Share this. Share this. We got some comments on Apple Podcasts. First of all, the Crab Feast fans are the shit, and dude, I love them more than anybody, so I'd love to read all of them. Here's one that I enjoyed, and it's just the title is "The King of Fleece Has a Podcast." You goddamn right, the King of Fleece has a podcast. Dude, I'm wearing fleece right now. I got on fleece socks, fleece underwear. I got on a fleece tallis because I'm ready for Hanukkah. Even though, you know, I was never bar mitzvah. I'm getting bar mitzvahed when I turn 40, everybody. I'm letting you guys know that right now. For my 40th birthday, which is a year from now, November 14th, I am getting bar mitzvahed. I'm working with a rabbi shortly, and I'm getting bar mitzvahed. So I got a fleece tallis and a fleece yarmulke. All right, here we go. So this is the title is "The King of Fleece Has a Podcast." This might be the best podcast I have ever heard. And Crystal... I ain't faking nothing. Oh, Crystal! Crystal was a girl that I was once in love with a long time ago, and then I faked an orgasm when we finally got to have sex. So that's where that joke is from. I enjoyed listening to it in the Outback of Outback. That's where I got into a fight. Listen to my Crab Feast episodes, everybody. It's a great podcast. It's coming to an end. But there's a surprise for y'all coming in late December with Josh. But just letting you know, I got a bunch of episodes on there. So I enjoyed listening to it Outback of Outback. And that's where I got punched by a guy for no reason. I mean, after I spit in his face, that is. But come on, does that justify it? God, this guy is such a huge fan of my Crab Feast episodes. This is beautiful. So don't cry them angry tears. Just sit back and listen to the world's only four-legged comic, Mr. Jimmy Josh Adam Needle Nose Myers. Five stars, fuck the 500. You guys can write that. I don't mind. I know I'm biting off the crab feast when I say this, but you can literally just write "fuck the 500" and give it 5 stars. That is that I'm. Yeah, Ryan will probably get mad at me if I say that. So you can, how about "go fuck yourself" with 500? You guys come up with something fun. Come up with something fun, and I would love that. Also, I want to make a huge announcement. Apple Podcasts is featuring this podcast on New and Noteworthy this entire week. So I love you, Apple. Thank you so much for the love. You should be doing this for me because I got an Apple iPhone. I got Apple TV. I got an Apple computer, and I eat apples. Granny Smith and Fiji, because my doctor told me to. It was a great week for me, everybody. I had a bunch of shows, I've been listening to a couple albums right now that we're getting prepped to record, because I'm not really doing these as weekly as you'd like. This is a lot of fucking work, guys. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to get some huge guests, and their availability is all over the place. Just like the guest on this episode's podcast. Okay. So I first met Fortune Feimster at the Comedy Store. Me and Angelo Bowers were hanging out. We were just on potluck, and Fortune went up and just ripped. And I mean ripped the stage apart. And from that moment, I was like, dude, I'm a fan of this girl. And she's only done anything but impress me since I've known her. She did the Comedy Jam early on, but she did the Comedy Jam TV show. She sang "Goodbye Earl" by the Dixie Chicks, and then we got Natalie Maines to sing it with her. If you guys want to watch it, you can watch the entire Comedy Jam series on the Comedy Central app. You have to steal one of your relatives' passcodes to, like, DirecTV or Xfinity or Comcast or whatever the fuck you guys have over in Australia. Because I see you, Australia. I see that you're listening to the podcast. Huge shout out to Australia. I want to come there. So fucking tell everybody in Australia. Because I want to go there. But Fortune just got back from Australia. But she did the goddamn Comedy Jam live show. She did the TV show. She was on Champions on NBC. She is just a star. She is hysterical. And if you go to her website now, you can find out all of her tour dates. I love Fortune. And I am so honored to get her on this podcast. It took a while. Like, there was a lot of back and forth. So when we finally got to sit down and do this podcast, man, she is the shit. So don't forget to listen to the end of the podcast, guys, where we spotlight the new artist of the week that is directly influenced by the artist we're talking about today. So it's Bonnie Raitt is the influencer. So we're seeing who was influenced. Also, guys, so when I book the guest and we do the interview, at the end of the interview, I say to them, I'm like, listen, we want to get inside your musical taste mind. So make us a mixtape that we can post for the audience. We then post it on the website, the500podcast.com. So you can see Bill Burr's mixtape. You can see Kevin Nealon's mixtape. Kevin didn't give us a mixtape. He gave us like a mix triple album. It's so much shit. So what I'm saying is Fortune, I mean, dude, look at these songs on her mixtape for you guys. Faithfully by Journey. Send My Love by Adele. We've got some Elton John. We got some Kelly Clarkson, some Imagine Dragons. There's some Salt and Pepper on there, guys. Guys, check out the podcast. Stick around to the end of the podcast to hear the new artist. Also, rate, review, and most importantly, subscribe to the 500, guys. This is a music book club. There needs to be discussion. The only way we can have that discussion with as many people as possible. Follow me, Josh Adam Myers, on all social media. Email the podcast at 500podcast@gmail.com. And for all things 500, go to our website, the500podcast.com. And I think with that being said, I think it's time to get started. So here we go with number 495 out of 500 with Bonnie Raitt. Give it up. Fortune,
You a fortune feaster. Fortune. Check. Fortune. You can join in. Fortune feaster. Bound down, down, down.
I'm so happy to be able to talk to you about this record finally. I feel like I've been tracking you down for so long.
For months, you've been like, listen to Bonnie Raitt, album now.
How annoying was those?
I was like, I'll get to it, jeez.
You're on set. You're like, yeah, okay, yeah, Jennifer Aniston, can you hold on for a second? All right, what track is you got to know somebody? God damn it.
You know, that's your commitment this podcast.
Well,
and Bonnie.
I feel like people are gonna want to know about this record. So you are from North Carolina?
I'm from North Carolina.
Okay. So tell me, like, what kind of music are you listening to growing up as a kid? What are you introduced to? Is it rhythm and blues? I mean, country?
Everyone assumes that it would be country. But honestly, I mean, there are people that listen to country music in North Carolina, but we're not quite as country as people assume. It's not like the Midwest where it's like a bunch of pickup trucks and or cowboys.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still
the South.
Yeah, it's still, there's still Alan Jackson,
yeah,
right?
Of
just
course.
Like down by the river with the Hanky Panky. That's the wrong song. Chattahoochee with the Mononski, but on the Chattahoochee.
I had a mix because I had my parents' influence. And they were big into oldies, so anything from like the Temptations, to the Drifters, any of those old songs. I weirdly like, they'll come on and I'll know like every oldie known to man. But there's also a thing called beach music that's very popular with the older folks in North Carolina.
Is that like the opening theme song to Pulp Fiction type shit?
Yeah, not really. They do a dance down there called the Shag. And there was even a movie back in the day called Shag.
It's like the redneck lambada,
it's almost like slower paced swing dancing.
Ooh.
And it's huge in North Carolina and South Carolina for people my parents' age. So they would listen to beach music like the, you're more than a number in my little red book. You're more than a one night stand. Case you get to thinking that you've been took, you're more than a number written in my little red book. It's like that kind of.
You have so many talents. I know that you can dance, you can sing. I think you're the lesbian Sammy Davis Jr. I'm not gonna lie.
You are a
fucking Renaissance woman, for Christ's sake.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.
So I listen to all that stuff.
Okay, so that's the stuff, the influence your parents have given
but then
you.
My oldest brother was really big into rap, but like the LL Cool J, Fat Boys,
so you're a child
Naughty
of the 80s,
by Nature,
right? You're in your teens in the 90s? So it's OPP and just what's popular on MTV?
Exactly. And then my middle brother was a little bit more into the grunge thing. So I would, you know, hear
Nirvana, Pearl Jam, yeah.
But I wasn't really as much into that. But I somehow ended up loving like 70s like classic rock, and I don't know where that came from. Like, I love Journey.
That was actually the first song you sang at the goddamn comedy jam. Was Don't Stop Believing.
I love Journey. I love them, and I love that old school stuff. But I started to appreciate country music more when I moved to LA, weirdly enough.
Oh.
Because
that makes no sense to me.
Part of it's because I started going to a gay country western bar.
What was it called?
It's still there. It's called Oil Can Harry's.
Oh, I love that name. They got the gay bars have the best names.
Yes.
Ever.
Ever.
Dingles. Brian's Rage.
Blue Balls.
When I go through Blue Balls. When I go through Santa Monica Boulevard towards that area, and I like the first time I saw that Five Guys Burger place, I was like, "Ooh, a new gay bar opened up," and I was like, "Oh no, that's the burger place."
Five.
But
guys.
It could have worked. But so you get introduced to country here, like
here,
so.
Yeah.
So it's even your parents' influence didn't rub off on you, or
no. Like my first concert, I think was like Rod Stewart and then Meatloaf.
That's a good show.
And the Beach Boys. It was
that's
all
a
that
great
same
show
year.
For the first one.
Yeah.
Ugh, mine was Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, I love Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Then you would love my parents. Then you can go with
like,
them.
I was like,
if I hear Puff the Magic Dragon again, I'm gonna fucking shoot myself.
I taught myself how to play guitar in college, and the only song I learned was Leaving on a Jet Plane.
If you had to say that you had obsession bands, have you ever had any bands that it's like, this is, oh my God, this is my youth, this is my childhood?
New Kids on the Block.
Really? Okay, so you fell into that. All right.
I was a loser. Oh, my God.
That's not a loser thing. They were one of the biggest bands in the world.
I know, but it was like such a dorky thing to be into, but I was obsessed with them. But I loved NSYNC. They were the next ones after that. So I loved of pop.
Yeah, the boy bands.
Yeah.
That's
who
incredible.
Knew that the lesbian would be in the boy bands?
No, I love that. I love that.
I probably wanted to be in their band. I didn't want to be like a boy per se, but I wanted to be like in a boy band.
In a boy. No, I get that. Yeah. It's the camaraderie,
uh-huh.
You know, the father-like figure that's stealing money from you. You're like,
I want that.
I wanted all of that.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I mean, has your musical landscape as you've gotten older grown, or do you think you're still stuck in the same ways of the music you've been listening to? Do you venture out or not so much?
I venture out. Yeah, I mean, I think my love of 70s classic rock grew, and I started to, you know, appreciate, like, real musicians.
Yeah.
People that could play instruments, and, yeah, I started...
Any particular instrument? You're just like, I love them all. If they play piccolo or the bass guitar, I'd give a shit.
I always wished I could play instruments myself, but I dabbled in the guitar, but it wasn't really something I mastered.
So, all right, so let's just take it, because I like how what you just said leads us into this, the way that you're talking about the instrumental players, mm-hmm. and I think our album is that. Our album is number 495 out of 500. It is Bonnie Raitt's 1972 sophomore record, Give It Up, and all the songs were written by Bonnie Raitt with additional writers such as Jackson Browne, mm-hmm. who I've met, nicest guys ever.
That's
and the
cool.
album was produced by American jazz producer... If I get this guy's name right, Michael Kusuna.
That sounds right.
Okay,
sure.
So what were you expecting? Did you know anything about Bonnie Raitt like beforehand?
One of my favorite songs of all time was I Can't Make You Love Me. What's the title of that song?
I Can't Make You Love Me.
I'll tell you this. Being in the closet for a very long time, you get very angsty about certain people in your life, and you have feelings for them, and you don't really know what it is, because I didn't know I was gay, you know?
Sure, it's just you knew you were attracted to something, you were drawn to certain people, yeah.
Yeah, and so there was a lot of unrequited love in my life.
Yeah.
Growing up, so this is like that was like the perfect song. I would be like in my shower, I'd be like, I can't make you love me, if you
Barbara.
Barbara Lynn.
Barbara, please.
I can't live. Oh, God.
But just don't tell my parents yet.
Here in the dark, in these final hours, I will lay down my heart.
I'd be like, why am I singing this love song about Linda?
So Bonnie Raitt stuck out. That was what you knew from.
Yeah, it was like the perfect.
I can't make you love
perfect
me.
Perfect sad song for a closeted lesbian.
So had you listened to any Bonnie Raitt records? The hits. So
no, just the hits.
Just the hits. So what were you expecting when I said this is the album I need you to listen to? What kind of music?
Well, I was used to hearing her. I mean, I guess by the time I knew her, she was a little older. This was a little lighter, and you know, when you're younger too, your voice I think probably has a little higher pitch. And,
yeah.
And the
mine, not mine though. Mine is. I came out of my deeper. Mom like wah, wah. See, wait, what were you saying about the expectations? So you already kind of expected a certain sound, but you said something that stuck out to me. You said soul. And that's the exact opposite of what I was expecting.
Really?
I thought Bonnie Raitt was country.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I mean, how with the hair?
I just always...
She's got country hair. She's got like Grand Old Opry, like, you know, down by the river with the hanky-panky with the bullfrog.
That's the one country song.
That's all I know, really. But I thought she was country.
No, I mean, I always assumed she's blues.
So you were expecting that it to open the way that it opened with, you know, Got to Give It Up, the title song, Give It Up, and just like pounding. When that came on, that was, I was in shock. I was like, I was literally expecting more of like,
you were expecting more of a like a twangy thing.
Very twangy. Yeah. So I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
So what stuck out to you the first time you're listening to this? Like, what are there any songs you connected to? Or
I love my favorite one was the Love You Like a Man. Is that what it's called?
Well, me and the guy that I'm going on this journey with, I'm like, we have a feeling she might be connected to this, but we don't want to say anything because it's low hanging fruit.
It's a little on the nose.
It's a little low hanging fruit.
Like, why does it have to be named that? And that's my favorite song. I think it's just,
and I didn't plan that.
Just the tune was cool.
It's a great song. Great song.
And you just, I was like, oh, I kept playing that one over and over again. That was probably, that was definitely my most favorite. The slow ones I wasn't as into. I was just like, next. It wasn't sad enough for me.
Really?
Like her, I Can't Make You Love Me.
No, I understand. What about Love Has No Pride, which we're going to talk about later because that really had an effect on me.
Oh, yeah?
Like the final song on that record, it's a song that I just passed over the first time I listened to it. Mm-hmm. And then maybe on the 40th or 45th listen, is when it just hit me one day. And
what about it stuck out for you?
It's just the idea. One, the title, but also you were talking about her voice. Mm-hmm. Like, the album to me goes from so many different genres. It's rhythm and blues. It does have some country. Mm-hmm. It has like slight blues rock, but it has these incredible ballads. And I wasn't drawn to that one, but her voice in that one, it's like, I feel like I really can feel when she says,
if I could buy your love, I'd truly try, my friend. And if I could pray, my prayer would never end. But if you want me to beg, I'll fall down on my...
That, I did not cry here.
Yeah.
But the first time I heard her sing that, those lyrics, where she's like, if I could pray, my prayer would never end. But if you want me to beg, I'd fall down on my knees. Just that little falsetto just brings such a tear to my eye. I cried like six times in a row listening to that. And it's also the way she says, asking for you to come back.
Yeah.
I'm pleading for you to come back. I'm begging for you to come back. All right. So let me ask you this question. That song is basically saying that you know, when it comes to love, you know, there's nothing. There's no more ego. There's no nothing. I am completely opened up for you.
Right. You got it. Throw down the armor in a way.
Completely. So let me ask you a question. How long did it take you to become vulnerable in your current relationship? Or do you hold back? Or is there a moment that you realize, you know, where you're completely bare with somebody?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. You know, every relationship's so different, you know, and you have those relationships that are a little more like tumultuous and that like you fight a lot and then you would like relate to a song like this, you know, where you're like, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you. And then you have other relationships that are like healthier where you're just like, hey, let's talk about this. Don't do that again.
Completely.
And you know, I'm in that relationship now where it's a very healthy relationship where, I mean, we had our moments in the beginning where we had, you know, you're getting on the same page, but I want to be with the person who's like more realistic. You're not like, I'll die if you don't do this. Like, you know, you don't want to live your life with that person.
I just have, I've been in relationships where it's like they were unhealthy, but but in that moment, it's like you feel like that love is so strong that it's like without them, like I'll die.
Yeah.
I realize now that I'm like, nah, I never die. Everything's actually fine. It just sucks for a little bit, but it's just to hear her sing that just had such a effect on me.
Well, I think it depends on too where you are in your life. I've heard songs at different points in my life where they've really touched on something, you know? And then other times in my life where when I'm feeling more grounded and at peace, I can listen to something like that and be like, oh, that's a good song. I don't feel that. But then like if you had talked to me 4 years ago, listen to that song, I would have been like, that song meant everything to me, you know?
Yeah. I just didn't, I'm telling you, it's like, I just was completely in shock when she opened up with the title track, Got to Give It Up. It's just such a banger. Mm-hmm. Peter, play some of the slide guitar. She's doing all the guitar work on this, and then you really start getting, you know, the themes in the first song, and she sets up the whole record because this whole album is about loss, pain, and love. It's just heavy. It's just you don't think it's so heavy because it's so fun.
It's so fun and light.
The way she's doing it. I mean, Got to Give It Up. She's got lyrics, which I think are so funny, which is like, well, I told you, pretty baby, such a long time ago, if I found you with another, well, I'd walk right out your dough. Might call me crazy, but there's one thing you should know. If you want me to love you, got to
let it go.
Well, you're supposed to be give it up first, but all right. Oh, okay, I don't know. Pretty close. So she's talking about being she's talking about being cheated on in this song. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been cheated on, or have you cheated on somebody, and why?
I've never cheated.
Good for you, me neither.
Pound it.
I almost did, but I did, but I chickened out. But then I got caught for it anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because she found a picture that the girl had sent me.
You were like, I didn't even do anything.
I didn't, but she was like, yeah, right. And I was like, I swear, I swear.
You're like, this sucks because I actually didn't do anything.
But have you been cheated on?
I was in a couple of things where we weren't like committed. I was seeing someone long distance who was not truthful about who else she was seeing. Like, we weren't necessarily in a committed relationship.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, like, technically cheating, but it was.
Because she lied to you and
she lied to me about, it turned out she was seeing several people.
Really?
Yeah, so that was a big shock, and I did not care for that. And then I had another one who ended things with me telling me that she didn't want to date anybody and wanted to focus on work. And it turned out she had started seeing somebody. So, but still it stings because even if it's a short relationship, it still stings because you're like, I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
There's no reason to lie to me.
I think that's what Bonnie was saying in that. She's like, listen, if you want me to love you, you got to give it up. You got to be with me. You got to make me your girl. I know I got cafeteria lady hair, but fucking, you know,
I think that's what messed you up about her.
It's the hair,
dude. The hair. You saw her hair and her crazy clothes from back in the day.
That's what I'm talking about.
And you kind of just assume she kind of almost seems like a caricature of herself.
It's just, dude, it's like, now I find her to be extremely sexy.
Really?
Oh, my God. Like, I've watched so many interviews with her, and the way she carries herself.
She's hardcore, though, too. Like, I was reading up a little bit about her. She had substance abuse problems.
Oh, yeah.
And she said her first album that she made sober was her 10th album. So I found that to be very interesting.
She most of these records got complete critical acclaim, but nobody knew about her really, like the general population, until Nick of Time came out. And that's kind of where I found out about her. The second song on the record, Nothing Seems to Matter. I love this song. It's so pretty. You can really hear the acoustic guitar work, her killing it. And then the only thing I just thought when I heard that song for the first time is that when the sax comes in, it sounds like a Billy Joel song.
Oh, yeah?
From the second one.
Hello out there.
Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind, and right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaky microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick, and usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work, but we talk about decidedly not-so-grown-up things like...
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics... all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life, and then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers, think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe to Grind podcast.
Peter, play 110 so we can hear that sax solo.
Because nothing seems to matter without you.
Once again, this is another song about a breakup into a fight, and then they realize they can't live without the person. She really just wants love, and so she really paints this picture of love for this song. Here's some of the sample lyrics. Last time I saw you, there was nothing we could say. We knew it was time for a change. This is my favorite part. A time to think you said that night, and I lied and said all right. I left you in the morning, I watched you in the window, and Mexico will never be the same. It's a really perfect picture painted of a fight and disagreement, even though you love somebody.
Yeah.
But the real, real question that I need to ask you is why does bad shit always happen to white people in Mexico? Why is it that white people go on vacation to Mexico? And I mean, I got busted with cocaine in Cabo San Lucas. Yeah. I got hit by a car in Cabo San Lucas.
Wow.
I knew another comic that was in Cozumel and on a scooter and broke his knee.
Jeez.
I was dropping the Kardashian sisters off at the airport in Cabo San Lucas working on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh, really?
I was a PA.
Uh-huh. I didn't know that.
So I had gotten busted with cocaine at Cabo Wabo. And then we paid $100 to the guy to let me go. And then they were going to fire me when we got back to America. They're like, Josh, just finish out this shoot.
Yeah.
And then we get back, you know, we're going to have to let you go. And I was like, all right. And they're like, well, just go drop the girls off at the airport. Uh-huh. So I'm driving and I get to the airport and I get out of the car and I'm about to like run over to like open the door and grab their bags. Uh-huh. And then some like Toyota just hits me.
No.
Yeah. And I'm just laying on the ground. But here's the thing. And I kind of feel bad about it, but I acted like I was in more pain. I was fine, so but I didn't want to get fired. Yeah, I didn't want to get fired. So I was like, I think stuff's bruised. I mean, it might not be broken, but definitely bruises.
Did the Kardashian girls see you get hit?
Yes, they did.
Did they keep walking?
They did keep walking. I remember Courtney going, oh my God. These are our bags? Perfect. Bye. And then
they're like,
left.
I hope you feel better.
That's what I'm talking about. Fucking Bonnie Newman, white people Bonnie. Going to Mexico. We get hit by cars. Do you have any bad Mexico stories?
No, but I've been to Mexico. I studied there for 2 summers.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy happened to me. And then I've gone to Cabo a few times, and we always hear like stories about people being like roofied.
That's what I'm talking about. Us white people. Mexico's so beautiful, but for some reason, I mean, if Bonnie's throwing in her songs,
it's all those that tequila, you just drink a lot, and this it's hot.
Yeah.
So you're sweating, and you're not making great choices. Definitely. You let your guard down.
You know, I think that lady comes up with the whistle and she shakes your head and she puts a shot and beep, 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 beep. And you're all spun around and then you get mugged and then you get into a fight with your boyfriend.
I bet they had like a, they probably got loaded in Mexico and just fought like crazy.
Yeah.
And then she was just like, I'm out of here.
Really?
But I was sad as she left and watched him through the window.
Yeah, she loved this guy. And
I feel
also,
like Bonnie Raitt probably has some stories, man.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I feel like, you know, she kind of slid under the radar. You know, it was pre-TMZ.
Going into the next song, I know this is one of my favorite songs. It bounces. It's mm-hmm. so fun. But once again, she's with a dude that is fucking with her and... It's just, she's like,
I know you don't love me no more, no more, no, no more. It'll have to be somebody else for loving you more, loving you more.
It's just that kind of repetition in the lyrics, and the jam at the end is so sick. But let me ask you this, because this seems to be this reoccurring theme with Bonnie. Have you ever hung around for someone, but you knew deep down they didn't want you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I had a couple that I knew really, really liked me as a person, and they just liked my company and wanted to be my friend.
Yeah.
But I could tell, like, they didn't really want to date me. But they didn't want to like hurt my feelings.
So why did you stick around then?
I don't know. I was bad at like being the one that ended things. Because in a weird way, even though I was getting hurt, I didn't want to hurt someone else.
Sure,
and
I get it.
And I thought like me taking my friendship away from them, it would be hurtful. But I don't know. I worked through a lot of things over time.
you're like, we were on this podcast a few years ago. I'd have a much longer answer, but I'm trying to block all of that out. Moving on to the next song, the one that I loved the most the first time I heard it, which is If You Got to Make a Fool of Somebody.
If you got to make a fool of somebody.
The reason I started digging it is because of that opening. It just sounded so beautiful. It's something that I really connected to with her saying, if you got to make a fool out of somebody, make a fool out of me. And I love how the song, as it keeps going, it gets like, it starts off almost like a ballad. And then by the end of it, it's a full on. She's like, but I'm the one. But do better, do better.
It's very bluesy. The piano's very bluesy.
Just really a showcase of her talent. Uh-huh. But once again, it's her in a bad relationship. This is a reoccurring theme for Bonnie. Bonnie really just needs to get out of it.
Yeah, but that's probably where she made her best music. She's probably one of those artists who kind of craved that dysfunction.
Well, that actually brings us into the next song. The low-hanging fruit.
Oh.
The best guitar work on the album, in my opinion. Love Me Like a Man. Play the guitar solo, Peter, at 1:22. I mean, That's just incredible. There's a part in the song where she goes, "And I need someone to love." That, like, need. It's just, ooh, I just get butterflies. It's a funky song. But what do you think it's about? Is it about, is this a song about feminism? Is this that she wants the equality of men? Or is, like, what do you think "Love Me Like a Man" means?
I thought she was saying she wants you to, the guy to step up and act like a man. Like, be a man.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, but maybe I didn't listen to the lyrics close enough.
I mean, there's if you break down some of the lyrics, a lot of them are what I read is that this is, and I assume this is true too, I don't know why I just said I read this, but this is what women, most women, you know, don't want from a man. They never, some of the lyrics she says, "I've never seen such losers. Don't think I haven't tried. I want a man to hold me, not some fool to ask me why. Mm-hmm. They all want me to rock them like my back ain't got no bone. but I want a man to rock me like my backbone was his own."
Oh,
shit.
Yeah, I just think it, she's saying, "I want like a real man. I don't want one of these pussies. You need to, don't act like, you know, flaky. Don't not call me. I want you to step up to the plate and treat me right."
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I thought she was saying.
So that every song so far has been about love. And then she moves into "Too Long at the Fair," which is such a beautiful song with the strings. But this is a song, after reading it, first I thought, because it's called "Too Long at the Fair," I was like, no, I can identify with that. I've been at a lot of fairs.
Too many corn dogs.
Way too long, and now you're on the zipper, and it's spinning you around, and then you're getting sick, and then your friend throws up, and then once somebody loses their shoe, and then it's time to go. But this is really about religion. You know, she says, "Jesus cried, wept, and died. I guess he went up to heaven. I've been downtown such a long, long time. I'll never make it home by 7. Won't you come and take me home? I've been too long at the fair. And Lord, I just can't stand it anymore." It's like, as I listen to this, knowing her history with drinking and stuff like that, and I know it was probably early on, but it just has a, it's just a lot. It's just a lot heavier than any other song on this record. And she was raised Quaker.
I saw that. Yeah.
And she spent her childhoods attending like Quaker camps in the Adirondack Mountains in New York State. That's the funniest shit, is that Bonnie Raitt's from Burbank.
I know, she was born in Burbank.
Fuck,
but raised in like Poughkeepsie.
Like, just, I thought, this is like a down home Tennessee girl with a fucking country hair.
Oh, I thought she was like Mississippi or something for sure.
But you have a strong connection to God, or you did, because you kind of grew up in the Bible Belt as well. So, like, how is your connection to God or the universe or whatever now changed over the years? And because I know I've heard through the grapevine in your childhood you were kind of churchy.
I mean, not like, I was never churchy in the way that you like hear about like preacher's kids or something. But I think every Southern person goes to church. Like, you grew up going to church. This is what you did.
Yeah.
Socially, if anything, that was just part of the fabric there, you know?
Sure.
But we were Methodists, so that's like on the light scale of religion. It was the Baptists in town who were the hardcore. Like,
are the Baptists the snake handlers? Those are my favorite. That's my favorite way to worship Christ. If I was going to convert to Christianity, I want snake handling, like, drinking fucking venom and shit.
That stuff freaks me out. I did know someone whose like dad did that, and I was like, nope, get me out.
Yeah, I think it's time to leave the fair. That's what I'm saying. I've been too long.
That wasn't very prevalent where I live. Where I was from, but it did happen kind of in the backwoods. But the Baptists were more of just like that, like, you know, everything's a sin kind of thing. And we didn't live like that, thank God. I mean, my family was more of just like, we're more focused on the morals, like be a good person, do something for other people.
Sure.
Like, let's go volunteer. Let's go. You know, this person needs something, let's help them out. That to me is the most important part of Christianity.
All right, a little bit more lighthearted on to "You Got to Know How," which hands down is my favorite song on the record. The clarinet, this like ragtime swing. And then when you listen to the lyrics, it's all about how to fuck. It literally
you
is.
You gotta know how.
Here you go. I'll give you sample lyrics. And Peter, if you can play this song behind me, because This is, it's my favorite song on the record. Technique ain't tough. If you care enough, you can learn to know how. I might drop a hint how to strike my flint if you yearn to know how. I love that. It's just, she is literally just laying it out there.
Now she's horny.
Now she's horny. But also, this has the best part of this, the best part of the whole album, when she goes, when you love me right, you hear me holla. Whoa, oh my God. That's what that's the shit that I didn't expect from this record, is that. But
her dirty birds.
Just, well, not the dirty bird, just, yeah, that, like, this weird way of, like, of singing and twisting a note, and you really, you know, she puts that forward in this song. Also, I didn't expect this album to have fucking ragtime swing clarinet shit. It sounded like,
well, nobody,
you know, like
nobody writes like this anymore.
No, they don't.
That, like, deeper kind of meaning, and where you're, like, figuring it out. Yeah.
So to ask you this question about my favorite song, she's talking about turning you on. What are the ways of guiding someone and how to turn you on? Are you a particular person?
Gosh, no. I'll take whatever I can get. Beggars,
just
can't
touch me. I don't give a shit.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, I get it. It's,
just make me feel,
I mean,
good.
Have you? I mean, well, there's that one thing where it's like, I always felt bad when you, it's like you like somebody and then you go in for that first kiss, mm-hmm. and it's just bad.
Oh,
like, it's,
yeah.
not even just the first kiss, but the second, third, fourth. Like, they don't have that rhythm,
yeah.
that you have.
It's never gonna work.
And I've had to, because if I really like the person, that's like, I feel so horrible to have to go, hey, yeah. let's just calm down on the tongue a little bit. Like,
slow
you're not,
it down.
It's not stabbing. It's more swirling. Like, just be nice to my face. Don't try to stab it.
They're all smacking you.
Porn, Satan, drugs, therapy. It's not just the list of what I'm up to this weekend. I'm comedian Kiki Anderson, and those are just a handful of the taboo topics I've poked and prodded at so far on my podcast, Indecent, the show where we peel at the wallpaper of polite society. Each episode digs into the dark underbelly of our culture to dissect the things we aren't allowed to talk about around the dinner table, featuring conversations with comedians, activists, journalists, academics. They all help me figure out the who, what, and why behind what is and isn't acceptable behavior. Indecent with Kiki Anderson, where NSFW meets LMAO. Mwah.
All right, would you want to do some facts?
Yeah.
Let's do some facts. Let's do some facts. Do some facts. You can join in.
Let's do some facts.
Let's do some facts. Do some facts. All right, first fact. I already mentioned it. Bonnie Raitt was born in Burbank, California. I mean, it's just, it makes sense because a lot of her songs have references to the IKEA on Magnolia.
Bob Hope Airport.
Because I'm on the IKEA on Magnolia. When you go to the Cold Stone Creamery in
Burbank's antique store.
Can I tell you my favorite thing about, this is my favorite joke Angelo Bowers ever wrote. He goes, I just ran the Burbank Marathon. There's no real distance in the race. You just run until you're tired of Burbank. All right. Early in her career, she opened for various blues legends from mm-hmm. Mississippi, Fred McDowell, Sippy Wallace, Son House, Muddy Waters, and John Lee Hooker. And she learned firsthand lessons on life as well as invaluable techniques on performance. Who has helped your career without you even knowing it? Without them even knowing it?
Well, I mean, like, Chelsea Handler gave me my big break. And you know, before her, no one was hiring me, and no one would, I could barely get representation, and like no one knew what to do with me. And she took a chance on me when everyone else was saying no. So that helped get everything started for sure. But, Carol Burnett was a big influence on me. I grew up watching like reruns of her shows with my grandmother, and
yeah.
she did everything that I, you know, try to do now. She, in her one show, she like talked to the audience, so that's improv.
Mm-hmm.
She did sketches. I did sketches for many years at the Groundlings, and improv. She did a monologue, which is essentially stand up. And so I saw, like, in the Carol Burnett show, I got to see stand up, sketch, improv, and her just like connecting to audiences in such a real way. Like, they loved her, you know?
Yeah.
And they, like, I just remember watching her just be like, man, like, what does that feel like to have like people just like connect with you like that? That's, she just, and she was so positive and so like a bright light, you know, and that really stood out to me, and I try to emulate that.
All right, let me ask you this. This is actually another fact. Here we go. Her father, John Raitt, is amongst Broadway royalty, and he is best known for his stage roles in the musicals Carousel, Oklahoma, The Pajama Game, the list goes on and on. He was a handsome man, very virile, strong voice leading man in the golden age. But this is why I wanted to bring that up, because her father gave her the best advice she had ever heard. Okay. This is it. Make every night opening night. Okay, so what's
give it your all.
Give it your all. What's the best advice you've ever gotten? And you keep mentioning your grandma. I mean, you know, your grandma was extremely special to you.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the best advice your grandma ever gave you?
I'm trying to, you know, she died when I was 18. I wish I had gotten to know her as an adult, so I could have had those more significant talks, you know, because when you're in high school,
you have no idea. But you have no idea. That's the thing. It's like, you know, you never know what you got until it's gone.
I mean, I loved her so much, and I am grateful that I realized at that age how special she was to me.
Yeah.
So I never took her for granted, but I definitely didn't get to have those adult. I just wasn't evolved enough to like know what to ask her, you know.
Yeah.
But she showed me a lot through example. About treating people well. Like, she was beloved by everyone in my hometown. And I got to see firsthand how she made people feel. And you could see someone come up to her and just light up. They just loved the sight of her. And she just made so many people feel good. So I got to see that and learn from that. Like, the importance of making people feel something just by being kind, or I don't know, just present, whatever that is.
So if you had to get, let's do this, let's spin this. If you had to give advice to somebody like about existence, it's just the blanket statement is just be good to people.
Just, honestly, that will get you further in life than anything.
I love how you said you weren't hippy dippy, and that's the most hippy dippy trippy bullshit.
Just be
a good person, and just, you know.
Well, you can't just be a good person and expect to get all your dreams and wishes come true. It's a combo of being a good person, working hard.
Yeah.
I believe in hard work more than anything. You don't get things by just sitting around chilling.
No. That's why I'm doing this. It's because it's just, you have to work.
I tell people all the time, if you think you're working hard, times that by two and do that.
Yep. All right, last fact, and this is probably the heaviest question, too. You were talking about Bonnie having, like, problems with drinking. So during the 1980s, her record label Warner Brothers dropped her, and it was at this time that she began gaining weight and started drinking. Her life was falling apart personally and professionally, and she even had an opportunity to work with Prince, but because that project fell through due to Raitt's perceived appearance.
Oh, really?
So after that, she got her act together, and that kind of came full circle.
Prince was like, I ain't getting on stage with that bitch.
He was like, ooh.
Ooh, girl, no.
He was like, no, really? Ooh. Oh, he's digging me. No, I mean, ooh, girl. Ew. So let me ask you this, like, because we've all been through that. So was there a time that you felt like life was unbearable or none of this was working? It could be in your career, so professionally, personally, whatever, but you had to make a change. And what did you do?
Gosh, I the hardest time of my life, I think, was growing up. I think there was a lot. My family was in a crazy place and there was so much going on, and my grandmother died and she was like a big influence on me, and I remember thinking like, oh, if I can get through this, you know, I can get through anything. Like, it was, there was like one thing after another, just like, it was just a constant struggle.
Sure.
And like, nothing was ever easy, and I just remember always being like, why can't things, something just be easy, why can't this thing just work out, you know? And it was a lot of that, like, up until I moved to LA. And then once I got to LA, I was like on my own, and I kind of just like had to, I just realized like life was going to be what I made it to be, you know? If I didn't want a life like what I had growing up, I got to do something about it, you know? So I think it gave me a drive that I wouldn't have had otherwise. Because I remember just thinking, like, I don't want to have the life that I grew up with. And so I better work my tail off to not only get, like, financial stability, but to, like, figure out who I am and get to the bottom of my shit, work through my problems.
Yeah.
You know, like, just, I just was always determined that I was, whatever my life was going to be, I just wanted peace. And that was my only goal, was I want peace. And as long as I have peace, that's all I want, yeah. You know? And so that was my driving force.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. You want to hear the Where Is She Now?
Yeah.
Here we go. Then the closing. Always, as always, everybody, big, black, and beautiful David Ross, my producer, my buddy going on this journey with me, who I call nonstop. He always writes our Where Are They Now? So here we go.
Okay.
After the 1972 release of her second album, Give It Up, she continued to release albums that critics adored but had low sales. It wasn't until her 10th album, which we've talked about, mm-hmm. Nick of Time, where the earth truly felt her strings vibrations. Ooh, David, I love the way you write sometimes. Ranked number 230 on this very list we are celebrating, it won 3 Grammys, including Album of the Year, and she went on to release 17 albums after that, the last being 2016's Digging Deep. Do you know that one?
I don't.
Neither do I. Dude, we're Give It Up fans, dude. We don't jump right into that. But this, I love this, is where he goes off, man. He goes, Bonnie is a throwback musician, addicted to the road, the child of a Broadway legend who sang on stage till his mid-80s. You can't tell me that that upbringing, coupled with early days of opening before legend blues musicians who refused to hang up the guitar, didn't have a lasting effect on her. Let's all not forget all of the women musicians who saw this, women who saw this woman, gave an audience a pulse and think to themselves, I can do that too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bonnie has never lost relevance, whether it is music or activism. She remained 100 yards ahead of us this entire time and will never tire of chasing her. Are you now a fan of Bonnie Raitt?
100%.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I like any strong female singer who's out there still kicking ass, great voice, guitar playing like a mofo. I love it. I love it because, like, how many people can do what she does? Not many.
It's just like I said, in closing for this record, it's like I was completely shocked of what I got, and I am now. If I might not go out and listen to more Bonnie Raitt, but I'll tell you, I fucking have so much respect for this woman. And her story, I mean, all I want to say is, Bonnie, just please find a man that will treat you right. Yes. Stop writing about these relationships.
And who knows how to love you like a man.
Yeah, man.
And who...
Light her flint.
Gives it to you good.
Light her flint. That's what I'm saying. Her flint needs to be rubbed and scraped.
We want to make you holler in all the good ways.
Fortune, thank you so much for coming on, darling.
Thanks, Josh.
I love you.
I love you, bud.
The real question of this podcast is, how many of us have spent too much time at the fair? Probably most of us, and probably I hope some of you guys also felt the same things that I felt from this record. Like, I cried my ass off to Love Has No Pride. Ladies and gentlemen, Fortune Feimster, and if you guys want to follow Fortune, go to fortunefeimster.com. All of her tour dates are up there. She's got a big tour coming out, so go to fortunefeimster.com and Fortune Feimster on all social media. Like I said at the beginning, I'll be posting her mixtape track listing on social media and on all music platforms, and you can find all of that at the500podcast.com. Email the podcast at 500podcast@gmail.com. Also, I spoke about it at the beginning. We've got the 500 Club, guys. We're giving away merch, t-shirt, hoodies,
We're doing live chats between me and my guests, and as long as you sign up to join the club, you get full access to uncut episodes, interview extras, all one day early on Record Store Tuesday, and that starts in December, guys. And I want to give a big, big shout out to two. We got Adam Aguilar and the one and only Bobby. I can never say your last name. Liglistica Lagalisi. Bobby, I love you. I love you so much, Bobby. You are my fucking dog. I love you. So join the movement. The 500 Club is the shit. Do it. The500podcast.com/club. For all details on Patreon membership options to support the 500. Also, I want to say this about Adam. Adam is a great guy, and Bobby is a great guy, but this is a specific story about Adam. I was doing a show at the Ice House, and Adam came up to me to watch it with him and his beautiful girlfriend, and they showed me that not only are they following along, but they are making their own playlist out of their favorite songs from the 500. And that meant the world to me. Because it shows that the movement is happening, people. So, Adam, you're the shit. I fucking love you, dude. And all upcoming tickets for any shows related to me, you can go to my website, which is joshadammyers.com. Please subscribe on your favorite platform. Write a review. Rate the podcast 5 stars. I don't give a fuck what you put on there, but I would love it if every single person listening right now leaves a 5-star rating and a beautiful review of the show. It would mean so much to me. It would bless my jilted, torn soul. And I need the love, guys. That's why I'm doing this, because I want people to let me know that they're digging it. And that means the world to me that you're listening. Also, guys, we've got tickets are starting to go on sale for the Moon Tower Comedy Fest that's going to be held in April. And we'll be doing a live 500 podcast taping there in Austin, Texas, guys. It's one of the best comedy festivals in the country. Jeremiah said it'll be hot as balls. It won't. It'll be perfect weather. Now, we just listened to Bonnie Raitt from 1971. Now, here is an artist that is directly influenced by this album. From Austin, Texas, is singer and songwriter Molly Birch, and this is her song, I Adore You. All of her details and ways to find her are on her website. And if you guys are in a band and were directly influenced by one of these albums or artists, and you want your music featured on the 500, send your song to 500podcasts@gmail.com. Make sure you put the album and the artist that influenced you in the subject, guys. Next week is MGMT week with her 2007 release, Oracular Spectacular. So you guys got some homework to do. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of the Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, man, I gotta hear that. Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like The Lumineers, Andy DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon.
Next Chapter Podcasts.